Go back to James chapter 1. So, if you like a title, I don't give titles, I always have titles, but just really three words, come here, do. Come here, do. It sounds almost like a Chinese word, isn't it? Come here, do. 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 Do you want to turn to your neighbor and say, come here, do? Come here, do. Come here, do. So, you know, in the middle of the next week, when somebody says, oh, what did Alex preach on? And most of us struggle to remember, don't we, one Sunday to the next. I want you to remember three words. Come here, do. So we look at James chapter 1. Father, as we come to your word, we ask, Lord, that we would hear something to do, that you would speak into our hearts, that you would just instruct us in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 16. Now we'll start verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So the Bible is full of instruction on how we are to live. And the challenge for all of us is, how do we actually do the things that Jesus tells us to do? And today, I'm going to talk about being a doer of the word. A doer of the word. You might have heard me say before about the donut man. He used to sing a song that simply went like this. O-B-E. Why? Obey your mum and dad. O-B-E-Y makes them very glad. Listen to the words they say. Obey your parents every day. O-B-E-Y, obey your mum and dad. So we used to play that to the kids, you know. Listen to us. Listen, you know, obey. Listen to the donut man. Do what the donut man says. Obey me. And it, you know, when you're riding in the car, sit still. When your mum says go to bed, say, I will. When it's time to clean your room, you must pick up your toys. Remember that obedience brings joy. If only I would live that way in regards to the things my Heavenly Father says. That's the challenge, isn't it? He's my Father. O-B-E-Y. It means do what He says. And so when I think about come to Jesus, hear from Jesus, do what he says. The coming is easy. You all came today, that was easy. The hearing hopefully will be easy, I won't put you to sleep. But it's the doing that is the challenge. Come, hear, do. Now keep your hands in James. And turn with me to Luke 6. There's a little Sunday school lesson that you would have heard as a child. Verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? So if Jesus is our Lord, then he's saying, you're going to do what I say. Why do you call me Lord if you're not going to do what I say? I mean, that's just like honest, isn't it? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do what I say? Either he's Lord or he isn't. That's what he's saying. If I'm Lord, you'll do what I say. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundations on the rock. And when a flood arose, the streams broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that great house. That house was great. And we know the story of the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man, he comes to Jesus. He hears what Jesus says, and then he does it. And he's a man who builds his house on a rock. The storm comes, gets a bit wet, but hardly touches his house. The other guy, he's a man who comes, hears, doesn't do. Storm comes, same storm. And great is the ruin of that house. So from this passage, there's three things. We come to Jesus, listen to what he has to say, and do what you hear. It's a simple formula of conduct that prepares me for whatever's going to happen. Come, hear, do. Should we say that together? Come, hear, do. Come, hear, do. Come, hear, do. You know, every one of us is going through various challenges and struggles and difficulties and problems. But what prepares you is coming, hearing, and doing. And you might sit there and say, well, everything's okay in my life. And maybe it is. Maybe everything is okay in your life. But let me tell you this. I prophesy under the Spirit of God, a storm's coming. And what will prepare you is coming to Jesus, hearing what he says, and doing it. You're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to go in the storm. It's just the nature of life. You know, when we lived in the Far East, we would get hit by typhoons, and you just prepared. Typhoons were coming. You didn't get upset about it. You didn't cry about it. You didn't complain to God about it. You just said, okay, it's the nature of living in the Far East. We get typhoons, tropical storms. Just get on with life. They close the schools when it hits a certain level and close down the country at a certain level. But you just get on with life. But what prepares us for life is coming to Jesus, hearing what he's going to say, and doing it. Okay, how many are like me? How many of you think the doing is the hardest part? Okay, some of us aren't quite sure yet. Ben's not sure. He's sitting there smiling, but he didn't put his hand up. So maybe he's got everything together. Let's go to James chapter 1 again. Go back to James. Verse 19. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That's good advice, isn't it? But it's more than advice. It's instruction. And this is where we want to sort of get to is we're not talking about advice. We're talking about instruction. We're not talking about principle. We're talking about instruction. Have you ever not done that? I remember once I was working for the church, and my one of my jobs at the time was to make sure that the finances were managed well. And somebody told me that Wynne, who was the senior pastor then, had invited Fred Price to the church, and Fred Price was coming. Now, Fred Price, if you know who Fred Price is, he was one of the early pioneers of the Word of Faith movement in the United States. He was well-known, a well-known author. He was African-American. And it would be quite a coup to get Fred Price. So that was interesting. Then they said, oh, he's coming for free. Wow, that's amazing. He's coming for free. He doesn't want anything from the church. And then she said, except 2 first-class tickets from L.A. 2 first-class tickets from L.A. at that time was about £12,000. £12,000, and we're a church of 100 people, and we're spending £12,000 to have this preacher come all the way from the United States, preach here, and then go home. £12,000. We could buy his CDs, or we could buy his VHSs, or whatever they were back in the day, and we could just put them up here, and it would cost us £25. But £12,000, and you know, I'm meditating on this, £12,000. And I thought, I was managing the finances, and Wynne has gotten and spent £12,000 inviting. You know, that would probably be more than a month of our income at that time, to invite this preacher from the United States. £12,000. And whoever's heard of Fred Price anyway, none of you knew him. £12,000. And this is going through me. And the steam starts to come off my forehead, and I'm getting hotter and hotter, and I've got to speak to Wynne. So at the first opportune time, in I went. And I say, I can't remember what I said, but I had said something like, why have you invited Fred Price to our church without talking to me? It's going to cost us £12,000. He just looked at me and said, I never said we were inviting Fred Price. And he hadn't invited him. And Fred Price never came. But I was quick to hear and really quick to speak and quick to get angry. And that happens to me a lot, and I'm sorry. I'm trying to change. You're not married to me. Ask my wife. But I have an instruction from the Apostle James. And it says like this. I don't know, in the Alex Ashton version of the Bible, it says this. Know this, Alex. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Know this, Alex. And you know where it says, my beloved brothers, why don't you just cross that off? And you can put your name there. In this passage, it goes on, it says, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I've done that, experimented with it. And it's true. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. There is an anger in God. The anger of God is something different, but the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Then it says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Can I just tell you who he's talking to? My beloved brothers. So there's like stuff going on in church that probably is a bit like stuff going on in our church and in the church. That it's just like stuff that reflects a heart, the weakness of our flesh and so forth. And he's saying, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness or humility the implanted word which is able to save your soul. So just here in these three scriptures, I counted 6 things that James is telling me to do. And if you're part of the beloved, he's telling you to do it as well. Quick to hear. Hear what others are saying. Just try and hear what they're saying. And some of the problems we have with our communication is people say something and we hear something else. We don't hear what they're saying. I mean, you think how many marriages would just be changed into sort of glorious places if husbands just could understand what their wife was talking about. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. Put away all filthiness. Put away rampant wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word. 6 things he tells us to do. Just in those verses there. 6 things. And just so he just rams home the importance of this, he says this. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. God is asking us to be doers of the word. Let us do what he says. You know, let me read it from the Amplified. I want to just hammer this point home. Prove yourselves doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts, and not merely listeners who hear the word but fail to internalize its meaning, deluding themselves by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth. I suppose it's a bit like this. If I said to you, are you a follower of Jesus? And you said, yes, amen, I'm a follower of Jesus. And you knew there was a certain area in your life that wasn't submitted to him and you weren't following him, then why do you call him Lord, Lord, when he's not Lord because you don't obey him? That's fooling yourself. The NIV puts it like this. Do not merely listen to the word, and so do you deceive yourself. Do what it says. It'd be like you're saying, oh, Alex preached really well today, and you go out and you forget what I say and you don't do anything. Like, I'm not a performing monkey. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's not a performing monkey. You know, sometimes I can be interesting, sometimes I can be, but I'm not a monkey. The Message translation says the same words like this. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a listener when you're anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. So what I'm just saying is this to all of us. You know, I got to look in the mirror to myself. Is God doesn't want us just to be a listener. He wants us to be a doer. To come to the word, to hear the word isn't enough. We need to come, hear, and do. And I'm laboring the point because we live in a culture where where we don't like being told what to do. An authority is disdained. So today I am instructing you to not just listen to the word, but put it into action. I don't know if this thought goes through your head now. But Pastor, who do you think you are telling me what to do? Who do you think you are telling me what to do? Who do you think you are telling me what to do? Pastor, I don't have to listen to you. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? And you know, the truth is, you don't have to listen to me. You don't. You can build your house on sand. Jesus didn't stop the man building his house on sand. You can do it. Do what you want. But you have to remember what Jesus said. Go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So on one level, you're right. Pastors shouldn't tell you what to do. Unless they are an echo of what Jesus says. So I'm here to instruct you to obey everything that Jesus tells or commanded us to do. We're to make disciples and teach people. Now, imagine this. You are going to teach people the commandments of Jesus. And you've got maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes to do it in. What would you teach? What would be the things you would highlight? And I was thinking about this because I wanted to give some examples. And I thought, I'm going to do four things that he told us to do to challenge you to do it. You've come, you're going to hear, and you're going to go out and do. I hope. But there's so much here, so I thought, I'll just do four. Two of them are regarding your relationship to him, And two of them are your relationship to one another. So number one, turn your Bible to Matthew 22. Verse 35. One of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. First thing I want to do is tell you to command you to love God. Love Jesus. How do you do that? How do you love God? How does one love God? Because I'm commanded to love and commanded to direct my love towards God, and I can't really love other people unless he's touched my heart with his love, or not in at least in the way he wants me to love them. I'm not going to try and answer that wholly tonight, or this morning, sorry. But we're commanded to love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind. It's a command. I love the word worship. And if I give my life in worship to him, there's something about loving him with my life. If I follow him and do what he says, I'm loving him. Jesus himself said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. If I tell him and I articulate it and I speak it with words, I can love him. And it's all a combination of these things. But it's a command. I am instructing you, as I instruct myself, to love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. And the challenge for you, I'm not going to be prescriptive, is to find out how you can do that. And then do that. Now flip over to Mark 11. So first one is love God. Mark 11, verse 22, sorry. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I want to encourage you to have faith in God. To put your trust in him. We're called to walk by faith. The just man shall live by faith. I just love faith. Have faith in God. Faith in his word. Faith in who he is. Have faith in God. Do you know it's impossible to please him without faith? Because we've got to believe that he is first. And that those that come to him, he's a great rewarder of. Have faith in God. Everything starts with our faith in him. That's like trusting him. And with faith, we'll do great exploits. During our life group on Tuesday, we talked about our favorite chapters of the Bible. And somebody got to it before I got there, but Hebrews chapter 11 is one of my favorite chapters. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And I just made a paraphrase here of the people it goes through. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, they left Egypt. By faith, they kept the covenant. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea. And by faith, the walls of Jericho came down. But you see, it's by putting faith in God's word, we're going to do some great exploits. If God said it, he's saying, believe it and I'll do it. By faith. Have faith in God. Whatever you're going through, have faith in God. Find out what he says about the situation. Find out what your covenant says. with God. Have faith in God. And there have been times when we've had no evidence, but we've had a little bit of faith. You don't need a lot of faith. You don't have to be this man of faith. You just need a mustard seed. Mustard seed of faith. If you had a mustard seed of faith, you could say to this mountain, be cast into the sea and it'll move for you. Have faith in God. Love God. Have faith in God. So, you know, when I go through real tough times, I turn to my Bible. Somebody said about Psalm 91, Lynn this morning, the soldier psalm, you know. I go to Psalm 46. That's my anchor point. My God is a very present help in a time of need. In a time of trouble, one translation says. I always seem to be going from one trouble to another. One problem to another. One challenge to another. But my God is a very present help in a time of need. And I've proven him. I found out that good things happen. So when we sing that song, you know, about the goodness of God, I found out it's true. I found out good things happen to me. And good things happen to my family. And good things happen to those that associate with this church. Because our God is good. But I've taken his word and I've just trusted it. Have faith in God. Turn to your neighbor, say, have faith in God. Have faith in God. So love God. Have faith in God. Wouldn't church be so easy if none of you were here? Wouldn't that be easy? There'd be no problems, no difficulties, no envy, no nothing. There'd just be me and I'd be by myself, lonely. See, the thing with church, and people give up on church because there are so many problems in church. And do you know why there are so many problems in church? It's because there are so many people in church. And those problems, all of them will be solved when we get to glory. But in the meantime, we've got to live with each other. I live in a house full of girls. 3 daughters, a wife, 2 female rabbits and a few female goldfish. Everything was female growing up in my house. Wow, you can just imagine it. See, when people live together, they have to interrelate and they go through the challenges that they go through. And in church, we're the same. So Jesus knows we're the same. And he says this. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. What a challenge. What an incredible challenge. This is a commandment. And the incredible thing that I've found is this, is God has put people in the church that I don't like. I'm sorry, don't look at anybody now, please. And rather than me having to avoid them, God speaks to me about, oh, there's David and Peter and Andrew and Alan. Go and love them. And I'm thinking, but I don't want to be anywhere near them. Go and love them. But they annoy me. Go and love them. But now this isn't true, brothers. Please don't leave the church. I was only joking when I said, imagine if it was empty. But see, we've got to relate. And those times where somebody has been like sandpaper to my soul, I've discovered there were things wrong in my soul that I've had to repent of. And here's the wonderful thing that happens is that God gives me a love for them. For the very one that annoyed me, for the very one that hurt me, for everyone, I've been able to love them by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's a commandment that isn't setting you up to fail. It's setting you up to change. Do you see the difference? Because God knows your humanity. He knows your weakness. He knows that some people are more difficult than other people. But he says, that's wonderful because Jesus died for all types of people and I want you to be like my son. Therefore, I'll bring some people into your life that maybe aren't your type of people. And I say, love them anyway. Love one another. He says this. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So you say, well, how do I have to love them, Lord? How do I have to love them? Well, like I love. Well, how did you love? Just read your Gospels. Read your Gospels. Read your Gospels. And see our Jesus. I also find 1 John really helpful. Read 1 John, the love letter. It's one of my favorite parts of the Bible. And the fourth thing, love God, have faith in God, love one another. Turn with me to Matthew 28, which I quoted earlier. And Jesus came and said to them, verse 18, sorry. So this is Jesus saying it. If you've got a red letter Bible, it's in the red. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go. Everybody say go. Go. Go, go, go. Do you know, I got my best thing. The best thing that ever Jesus ever gave me was because I went. I signed up for a go team. And when I got to Scotland, there was this young lady there that I made my wife. I mean, I didn't make her my wife. She became my wife. You know, something about going, God blesses. Bless me with a wife. But we're commanded to go into all the world. I go to the gym about 4 times a week. 4 times a week I go to the gym, and I go to the gym at the same time. And the reason I go to the gym at the same time, apart from it being helpful for me, it's because when I go to the gym at 7 o'clock, I go to the sauna in the gym, and about the same 3 or 4 men join me in this sauna, and we talk. And this goes on every day. This is my marketplace. Stop it. I am there to reach these guys for Jesus. I talk about their marriage challenges. I give marriage advice. I give life advice. I'm just there. Sometimes we talk about the rugby. Sometimes we talk about the weekend. But I'm just there. I'm a presence. It's like the sauna club. The evangelistic sauna club. I mean, they don't know it. They don't know why I'm there, really. But they know what I do. And they know, they just know me. And I'm just, you know, I think I've shared this one time. Andrew Yeoman's praying for somebody to get restored to the Lord. And the next day, they join my sauna club. Prayers in Ustragun Life make a difference in Bridgend. I had one of them say to me, he said to me just last week, I think it was last week, he said, you do baptisms, don't you? Yeah. He goes, I want to get baptized. And he doesn't know anything about Christ, but he wants to get baptized. I said, that's wonderful. Maybe you should start by coming along to church one Sunday. He said, I think I will. But see, what I'm doing is I'm going. Because Jesus commands us to go. And my going looks like having a sauna at 7 o'clock in the morning in Bridgend at the health club. Your going might look something completely different. Your going might be, I go to the mothers and toddlers on a Friday morning and I meet the same women and I reach out with my heart and love to them. Your going might be just your workmates. When I used to work in the council, you know, people would tell me things. They'd come to me for advice because they knew that my lips never spoke. We didn't gossip. I was a safe place to go. You can be that safe place. But we're commanded to go. It's a challenge, isn't it? When we have a hostile environment out there that says they don't want the gospel, they don't want your Jesus, they don't want you to talk about, you can still go. Because there's one thing everybody wants, and that's to be loved. And what love does is it has this marvelous effect that when I love someone, it opens their heart to me. I was talking to one guy in the sauna club. Jane should be telling me off for telling you these stories because it's a bit... And he starts talking about dying and everything. And I said, stop! You've got to make sure you're ready. And he goes, yeah. I said, he goes, oh, I'll have a pint with Jesus when I get up there. But you know, 6 months ago, if I had said that to him, he'd have thought I was a nut. But this nut has grown into sort of a relationship with him. Go into all the world. Come here, do. Come here, do. You've come this morning, I've told you to love God, have faith in God, love one another, and go into all the world. Come here, do. The Bible isn't to be memorized, it's to be done. Last night I was out at a friend's house watching the rugby, and I went home and I had Radio 5 on. And Radio 5 were discussing whether or not we should forgive Matt Hancock. And the presenter was very hostile towards Matt Hancock. He is the health secretary that is in the jungle. Should we forgive Matt Hancock? And Jesus says this. If you have anyone, it says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. And if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And there's this corresponding action between my relationship with my Heavenly Father and my relationship with other people. Forgive. So I was listening to the radio, and they had this woman on, Maureen Greaves. I don't know if you've heard of Maureen Greaves. And I've just stuck it on. And Maureen Greaves' husband was an organist in his church, in her church. And on Christmas Eve, for midnight mass, he's walking to church, and two thugs, high on drugs, killed him for no other reason than for the sport of it. They didn't rob him. They didn't take anything from him. They just killed him. And Maureen comes on. And the presenter says, how could you forgive the men who killed your husband? And she said this. She said, I was getting ready for church that night, and it was my responsibility to say the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And as I knelt over the dead body of my husband, I thought about the Lord's Prayer. And I could not but forgive these men because of what God has done for me. And then for the next 5 minutes, she tells the whole nation who's listening about Jesus who died for our sins, gave his life for us, that we could be forgiven. Just incredible, incredible testimony live on Radio 5. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And when we say forgive, we're not saying what they did was okay, what they did doesn't matter, what they did was all right. We're not saying any of that. What we're saying is, God, you are the judge, the heavenly judge. And I'm giving the one who wronged me over to you, that you will judge them accordingly. I think it'd be really good just to pause just for a moment, because it'd be really easy to just finish the sermon and finish. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. Can we just ask the Holy Spirit just to search our hearts? Is there unforgiveness in our hearts, Lord? I just pray, Lord, for everybody here. I ask that your Holy Spirit would just bring unforgiveness to the surface, and that that Spirit of grace will help us to forgive. I thank you for Maureen, who's living in the blessing of forgiveness, that she can testify to the world of your Son because she's forgiven. Thank you, Lord. I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. Come here. Do. Nobody's saying doing is easy, but there is a grace that helps us. In my own life, let me just give you an example. In my own life, I was reading 1 Peter, verse 14 to 16. I'll read it to you. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And I came to the word, and I was reading it, and I felt like the Holy Spirit speak this. You know, I'd read the whole chapter, but I was hearing what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. Alex, in all your conduct, be holy. In all your conduct, be holy. Now, he might not be speaking that to you, but he spoke it to me. So it stayed with me, and I'm saying, Lord, how do I obey this command? How am I to do all that I do holy? How can I be holy as you are holy? I one of my reading books is The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. The Pursuit of Holiness. I mean, people pursue money and they pursue happiness and they pursue all sorts of things, don't they? But this is The Pursuit of Holiness, because for me, and we were singing it as Kelly even was singing, holy, 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 holy. And when I hear the word holy, it's like I don't need to just get up. It's like a little slap in the face, you know. Oh yes, that's what God's speaking to me, because I've got to do this. I've come. I say, God, speak to me out of your word. I've come and I've heard, and now I have to do. Come, hear, do. And it's interesting, you can go away from this morning and not do anything I say, or anything the Bible says, should I say. Because what I say has limited weight, but what God says, this is what it says if you don't. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. I've read that scripture for years and years and years and years. Never really experienced it. Didn't really know what it meant, other than, you know, you're a bit stupid or something like that. And then my dad started to suffer memory loss. At first, he'd just repeat himself. And you know, he's a bit old. But then he would ask the same questions again and again and again. And he would forget things. He would forget his grandchildren's names. He'd forget what I did. He just couldn't remember anything past a certain day. And you would tell him, and he would forget. And he would say something, and he would forget. And when we look at a man who can't remember what he looks like, that is a terrible thing. When your father, the one that you love, before your very eyes is forgetting who they are. That's what that's like. It's awful. It's awful. To see somebody deteriorate. And I know I'm not the only person in this room that's gone through that with their family and relatives. But what God is saying is when you come to the Word and you hear the Word, but you don't do it, you become like that man. We want the Lord to save us from being that man. Oh yeah, I come to church. Oh, I hear good sermons. What do you say again? Oh God, so what's my name? What do I look like? Who am I? That's what we become. And it's so easy to do because it just starts by letting things slip. You stop listening to the Holy Spirit. You stop listening to the Word of God. It just becomes just like water off a duck's back. Oh, yeah, I know love one another. Yeah, I know that. I know that. But you become like a man who forgets who he is, which is a terrible, terrible place to be. You are a child of the living God. Never forget that. However, turn to James chapter 1, verse 24. Verse 25. The one who looks into the... verse 24. For he looks at... 25. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. See, God is looking for action men and action women. Who had an action man when they were a kid? Did you ever have one of those? Sad. Action man. God is looking for action saints, those that do, those who act. And when we act, here's the wonderful thing, we are blessed in our doing. Who wants to be blessed in your doing? There is a blessing that comes from doing the will of God. There is a blessing that comes from doing what God says. It's like you take the instructions manual, the instructor's manual, you put it into place in your life and you get blessed. I've got an incredible life. Why? Because of him. How? Because of him. And I was blessed in my doing. And no sacrifice doesn't come without blessing. And so... we all want to be blessed in life. We all want to see the blessings of God, both natural and spiritual. And when we do his word, we get blessed in our blessing. What does that look like? Well, when the storm comes, we don't fall over. It looks like your marriage is a rose garden rather than a thorn bush. It looks like it's having God at the center of everything that we do. It's life, not death. Abundant life that Jesus promises us. Come, hear, do. Do you want to just turn to your neighbor and say, come, hear, do. Come, hear, do. Come, hear, do. Here's the incredible challenge. Today, in the next 35 to 45 minutes, you're going to leave this building. You're going to go. You have come. You have heard, but will you do? Will you do? Now, you don't have to do anything. But if you want to be blessed in your doing, you need to do.